This has been quite a week after what has been quite a year. I am preaching from my house in a place that seemed quiet. And I want to start out today by sharing with you a story that I read about, heard about a little more than a week ago, and now has been seen by tens of millions of people all over the world. And this one little story, it seems to me, captures just a lot of the essence of what it means to try to live and work and go through our lives in a time like this, where we're doing the best we can, but school is altered and work is altered and church is altered, and we're sharing spaces with people that we're not always around on a regular basis, and we're sharing devices as well. And so I want to show you a video that revolves around Rod Ponton. Now, he is an attorney in Texas, and he had a court hearing that was on Zoom. And he was going before the Honorable Judge Roy B. Ferguson, and there were two others in the Zoom meeting. Some of you have already seen this, so you already know where this is going. But there's one thing you need to know if you haven't seen it, or if you haven't done much on Zoom or other things like that, FaceTime. And that is, Ponton had to use his secretary's computer for Zoom. And his secretary had allowed her daughter to use the computer a little earlier for Zoom. And her daughter had had a little fun with filters on the Zoom. Now, if you're not familiar with filters on programs like Zoom, you can set a filter to change the background so that it looks like you're standing in front of space, or maybe in outer space, or you're standing in front of the Golden Gate Bridge, or you can change the filter so that it not only looks like you're in a tropical location, but you're a pirate in a tropical location, or you're a graduate in the midst of a graduation ceremony, or, as in the case with this video, you're a cat.
Mr. Ponton, I believe you have a filter turned on in the video settings. You might want to
can you hear me, Judge?
I can hear you. I think it's a filter.
It is, and I don't know how to remove it. I've got my assistant here. She's trying to, but I'm prepared to go forward with it. I'm here live. I'm not a cat.
I can see that.
Now, I laugh every time I watch that video, and there's several things I love about that video. One of the things that cracks me up every time is, in the top left corner, it says that recording the video is prohibited. And yet it is the court that decides to release this video to the world so that the world could have a good laugh by it. And I love that Ponton feels the need to tell the judge, I am here, I'm not a cat. But maybe the thing I love the most about this video is that while he and his assistant are scrambling, trying to figure out how to turn the filter off, he says to the judge, Judge, I'm prepared to move forward. And those words encapsulate so much of what it means to me to live through a pandemic and then live through the last week that we've lived through. It is difficult. It is hard. We're going through things we wouldn't necessarily choose, but I'm prepared to move forward. I am determined to move forward. As if this last year weren't enough, we went through a last week where most of us were snowed in and temperatures were down to near 0 degrees sometimes. We've got a lot of family in Texas, a lot of family and friends in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Many of them went without power for more than a day, 24 hours, 36 hours. Some of them also lost water. water either froze going into their house, or we had friends who lost drinking water. So even when the water came back on, they have to boil it before they can drink it. All of these people going through such difficult times. So what do they do? What do we do? What do we do when we face times like that? We determine to go forward. One of our members, Sandy Johnston, is a PT at Baptist. And the other day or night, it was dark. She took a picture where snow was covering everything and it was still coming down. And in the caption on Facebook, she said she was heading off to work, because that's what so many people like our medical professionals do. While most of us are hunkered down, they have to keep venturing out. And there are others of you in similar professions. While most of us are hunkered down, you keep venturing out. You determine it's not easy, it's not convenient, but you will move forward. We've got so many teachers in our church who were teaching under extraordinary circumstances this year. And all of you students who are doing school under extraordinary circumstances this year. So some of you, it's completely online. Some of you, it's been online some and in person some. Some of you, it's in person. But even though it's in person, you're wearing masks all day long. You're socially distancing. Nothing is the same. I commend you for what you're doing and the hard work you do to keep teaching, to keep learning. But that's what we have to do. It is difficult circumstances, but we determine to move forward. So I want to tell you a little story about Kayla and Aaron Dempsey, a couple I already loved even before all of this happened. So I reached out 3 or 4 weeks ago, asked them to read a scripture for the service. And at the time when I reached out to them, Kayla said, well, unfortunately, we can't. Because she said, I've got COVID and I am in quarantine. And Aaron was deployed to the Capitol to work at the inauguration. And it was right after the inauguration, so he'd made it back in town, but his whole group hadn't been released yet. They were in sort of a quarantine before they could come back home. So then over the coming weeks, I've kept checking in on them just to see how they were doing, making sure they were doing okay. And finally, they were both doing well and healthy. So I reached back out at the beginning of this week and said, would you be willing to read a scripture for us for the service? Would you record yourself reading a scripture? And at that point, Aaron responded and said, I'm happy to do it. I'll have to let Kayla respond to you. Because as you know, she's an EMT when she's not working for the National Guard as a pilot in Black Hawk helicopters. And so because she's an EMT and she has to be ready to go out on call, even in the midst of snow and ice storms, her company had put her up at a hotel near the hospital. So she was ready to go out on a call, as if I needed another reason to love and appreciate and admire this couple. So we're about to hear two passages that talk about going forward, determining to move forward, and they're going to be read by Aaron and Kayla. These are from Luke 17 and Luke 12. Let's listen and watch.
Good morning, everyone. When Bert first asked us to record these videos, he was originally hoping that we would be able to read them together, but unfortunately, due to work and all of the snow everywhere, we are having to film these verses apart. I'm obviously still at work, but wanted to take a moment on our break to go ahead and read this verse for you guys. So I'll be reading from Luke chapter 12, verse 35. It says, be dressed for service and keep your lamps burning as though you were waiting for your master to return from the wedding feast. Then you will be ready to open the door and let him in the moment he arrives and knocks. The servants who are ready and waiting for his return will be rewarded. I tell you the truth, he himself will seat them, put on an apron, and serve them as they sit and eat. He may come in the middle of the night or just before dawn, but whenever he comes, he will reward the servants who are ready.
Good Good morning, church. I'm going to be reading Luke 17, 7 through 10 this week. Hopefully everyone in the church family is also doing well. When a servant comes in from plowing or taking care of sheep, does his master say, "Come in and eat with me"? No. He says, "Prepare my meal, put on your apron, and serve me while I eat. Then you can eat later." And does the master thank the servant for doing what he was told to do? Of course not. In the same way, when you obey me, you should say, "We are unworthy servants who have simply done our duty."
Now, I think both of these passages are really interesting, but they're especially interesting to me because these are discussions that both come from the mouth of Jesus, both show up in the Gospel of Luke, and yet there is an interesting juxtaposition of the things that Jesus says. They sound almost paradoxical in what Jesus says. So let's take for a moment the passage that Aaron reads from Luke 17. Now, this is an interesting image of a servant who finishes one task in the middle of the day. And the hypothetical question that Jesus poses in this parable-like story is this: should the servant feel entitled to have the master invite him to stop halfway through the workday, to sit back, to relax, to kick his feet up when only part of the task are done? And the answer Jesus gives is no, there's more work to be done. And does the servant feel the master should act surprised or fawn over the servant for doing his job? And again, the answer is no. Now, we probably all worked with some people at times for whom we are surprised when they actually do the job and do it well and do it competently and show up on time. But when those moments come, we don't say it out loud, but is that a compliment? Is it a compliment when we're thinking in our head, "Wow, you weren't completely incompetent for once. Wow, you actually worked hard and took initiative and completed the task and did it on time"? We know that's not a compliment. You want to be thankful that someone does their job and does it well, and they do it reliably and competently, and they're honest and they're hardworking in what they do. You want to be grateful, but you don't want to be surprised. You expect someone to do the job they're supposed to do. So I want you to imagine for a moment, a woman owns a business and is looking for help. So she posts an ad that sounds something like this: "Wanted, a personal assistant who will be tasked with a number of jobs, organizing my schedule, running errands, contacting clients, filing, any other task I decide are necessary to help free me to fulfill the mission of my business. This is a salaried position that will work approximately 40 plus hours a week, give or take, 8 to 9 hours per workday. And the pay is not only competitive, but it is more than most similar jobs. And it also has generous benefits, including insurance, retirement, paid vacation, personal days, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If you are interested, please contact me at this number or this email address." Now, suppose someone is very interested. They don't have a job. They want a job. This sounds like something that they could be good at, that would be fulfilling. And not only is it something that has fair pay, but it's pay that exceeds anything they've found out there. Great benefits as well. And so this person reaches out. They call about this listing and they say, "I really want this job." And they go in and they interview for the job. They say, "Yes, I'm on board with everything that you've listed. I'll do everything that I need." And they take the job and they're happy to take the job. They needed the job. So what happens if they show up for work that first week and that first day, and a few hours go by and they do some of the tasks for the day, for part of the hours of the day? What would you think if they then kicked back, put their feet up, and wanted to call it a day? What would you think if they said, "Now, I know you hired me for 8 to 9 hours a day, 5 days a week, but I kind of figured we both knew I was only really good for 3, maybe 4 hours of the day. I hope that's okay. And I know I agreed to do all of these tasks that you listed and anything that was needed, even that wasn't listed. But in reality, if truth be told, I'm only really interested in 2 or 3 of the tasks. So I think if it's okay with you, I'm just going to stick with a couple of things that I like and I feel okay about instead of doing all of the other things that you have. Would that be okay with you as the one hiring them for the job? No. You expect them to do the job not only that they agreed to do, but they sought out doing, that they interviewed doing. You expect them to do the job that they said that they would do. And not only do you want them to do the job, but you want them to do the job with the enthusiasm of a Chick-fil-A drive-through employee. My pleasure. It's my pleasure, sir. It's my pleasure, ma'am. No, seriously. It's my pleasure. It's my pleasure to serve you. I'm just doing my job. And that's part of the simple point of this parable. When you take the gracious offer of Jesus to be a disciple, then determine to go forward, not part way, but all the way. Every day, we take up a cross and we follow. We answered the call to receive God's grace and God's love and God's life. We signed up to live the life of Jesus. We chose to walk in the ways of God. We agreed to serve, to share, to show God in what we say and in what we do. And we're not going to be flawless in that. We're not going to be perfect in that. We will still have off moments and down times. God's grace is more than sufficient. It is God's grace that carries us forth. It is God's grace that grabbed us in the first place. It's God's grace that will bring us to completion. But it's still our task to choose to go forward, to be our best and to do our best. And this last year has put that to the test for us, hasn't it? And this last week continued that struggle. It put it to the test for us. And all of us have to continue to decide to do the best we can in what we do in every day we do it. There's no way around it. This has been a hard year to be a parent, but we know we don't quit before the job is done. We do what needs to be done. We keep showing up to do the work. We determine to go forward. And this has been a hard year to be a teacher, a hard year to be a student, but we know we don't quit before the semester is done. We do what needs to be done. We do the work. We determine to go forward. And this has been a harder than normal year to be in close relationship with other people, spouses or parents or kids or coworkers, employees, employers, all the different relationships we have. And some of the difficulty is because it's been hard to be around some of the people that we love. And some of the difficulty is because we've been around some of the people we love a whole lot more than we normally would. There's not many places to hide. There's not many places to go. Whatever the challenge is, whatever the situation is, as far as it depends on you, don't quit. Don't give up. Keep doing what you need to do to be the person, to be the partner, to be the parent, to be the friend, to be the sibling that you need to be. Determine to go forward. Now, I think at this point, it's important not to distort the big picture of this parable and the picture of our interaction with God, because as with a lot of parables and that type of teaching, you can push the metaphors too far and you can miss the point. So in this story, the servant is reminded of their place and proper perspective of doing their duty. And Jesus says, you don't need to expect a lot of praise. You don't need to expect a lot of thanks for simply doing the job that you're supposed to do, that you're signed up to do. Jesus is fighting against an overinflated sense of self and entitled laziness of someone who agrees to one thing and then tries to change the agreement to something less. Jesus wants us to become people who live the life, who fulfill our duty, regardless of the circumstances, and do it with humble devotion. He doesn't want us to be someone who tries to cut out early and yet still wants to be praised and rewarded for a job half done. But this does not mean that we are not praised and thanked and rewarded for a job well done. In fact, we remember many times when Jesus goes out of his way to acknowledge and praise the faithfulness and the generosity and the loving actions of others. And we remember great passages where Jesus says, when we live out the loving, faithful, serving call of the gospel, we can expect, have hopeful expectation to hear words like this: well done, good and faithful servant. Great is your reward. In fact, I want you to hear again from the passage that Kayla read from Luke 12:37. It says, it will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve. He will have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. So what does it mean to be watchful and remain ready for the arrival of the master? Well, what it doesn't mean is that we just sit down and gaze to the heavens, waiting for the return of our master. What it does mean, staying dressed and staying ready, means we stay diligent with the task of living the life of Christ as best we can, of living the love of God as best we can, of serving and sharing and showing the ways of God in what we say and in what we do and how we interact with people around us. It is not just a sit back and wait kind of watchfulness. It is a getting up every day to live in the way of Jesus, to live in the way of the cross, to live in the way of God's love and faithfulness in all our relationships, in all our responsibilities, in all of the circumstances in which we find ourselves. And when we do that, we can expect a God who celebrates, who appreciates, who gives thanks for what we do, who acknowledges and is quick to say these great and comforting words: well done, good and faithful servant. I'm reminded of a story from earlier in the pandemic of a UPS driver named Anthony Gaskin, who was so appreciated by one particular neighborhood because he was bringing in goods and necessary supplies every day to the neighborhood. And as he brought them, he brought an attitude of joy, brought a smile when he did the work, and they were so appreciative. They lined the street, they cheered, they waved, they honked, they made signs. His bosses got in on the act and honored him and gave him gifts in recognition of his amazing work and attitude. Isn't that a fantastic scene? And what we can expect, Jesus says, is something even more beautiful. And this is really amazing, because Jesus says the master will dress himself to serve the servants. Come and sit at the table. Enjoy the great feast, the banquet that was prepared for you, as the master waits on the servants. Isn't that an amazing image? So determine to go forward, even in these really challenging times. Live the life, do your duty, live with humble devotion, not a sense of entitlement, but live absolutely with a sense of expectation, a joyful sense of expectation. Well done, good and faithful servant. Sit, eat, enjoy. Great will be your reward.